that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. I want to preach on the subject tonight of enduring all things. Enduring all things. The verse that I'm going to use is verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Several weeks ago, I had a conversation on the telephone with Brother Titus, about $11 worth. He's long-winded, especially when it's your nickel. And the Lord impressed me on, he didn't tell me, but the Lord impressed me what I was going to preach in this conference from that conversation. In this passage of Scripture, and I believe in this verse, the salvation of the elect is the primary concern of the Apostle Paul. Amen. I thought, what a wonderful thing the Lord did for me to let Brother Jones preach a missionary message. Because I believe that we have a great example of one of God's great missionaries and the way he felt about people being saved here in this verse. There are some things that we must consider in this verse. I want us to consider, what does he mean by endure all things? We might ask the question, who are the elect? We might ask the question, how did they become the elect? We might ask the question, what were they elected to? We might ask the question, when are they saved? And we would ask the question, how are they saved? Now, I believe that the Apostle Paul knew the answer to all of these questions. And I believe in the study of God's Word pertaining to this great missionary, I believe that he gives us the answer to these questions. The answers to the above questions will help us to give all glory to the God of all grace. It will strip us, and it will cause us to understand who it is that does the saving. Amen. And it will cause us to understand who we are, that God would even be pleased to use, that the elect may obtain the salvation which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it will cause us to give all glory and all honor to the great God of heaven. There are five words that you can jot down from this verse. The first word that I want you to jot down is the word persecution. This is found in the very first part of this verse when it says, therefore I endure all things. If you'll notice in the preceding verse and verse 12, he uses the word suffer. Now notice what he says. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And I believe that when we endure all things that Paul is talking about, I believe it means that we're going to have to do some suffering. Even as the apostle Paul was called upon to do some suffering. And I become so ashamed that so many times I am so unwilling to suffer for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the preaching of the gospel. I was overwhelmed yesterday morning. And this came to my mind and I thought, oh, how we complain. God saves us by His grace. God calls us to preach. God gives us the truth. The Holy Spirit sends us where we ought to go preach. And then we complain about it. And how many times we say, oh, I'm having to suffer for the cause of Christ. I believe it's part of it. He goes on in verse 12, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. I have had to suffer very little for the cause of Christ. I told Brother Sinek today that we are the most privileged preachers of any generation. In the freedom and the liberty that God has given us in this day and this time to be the men of God, to preach the truth of God's Word, and to stand for the Word of God in a time that when it seems the whole world is against God and everybody's turning from God. What a privilege. What a privilege to be in the end time, in the last days, and to be standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be believing the truth and preaching the truth of God's Word. What a privilege. I thought about, there's another message I want to preach, but the Lord wouldn't let me get off this one. And I've all day sat there and thought about, Christ is all I need. Do y'all know something? I thought about it. You know, I don't even need any money tonight. I don't need any shoes. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not wearing shoes and don't have money. I'm saying that I've got all that I need. I don't need another car. Tell my wife often, I said, sometimes, and I'm not blaming her for this. She'll say, I wish we had so and so. And I say, honey, we got all we need. All we need. Now I'm going to preach that to church and they're going to think I'm crazy. You know. But I believe the apostle Paul, now think with it, he said, therefore I endure all things. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And look with me there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 5 through verse 12.
Did you know why the Apostle Paul was always so happy? Look what he says. And whether we be afflicted, notice, it is for your consolation and salvation. Notice that. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You see that? See the word salvation? Are you willing to suffer that the elect might be saved? Are you willing to endure the things that God brings in our lives for the elect's sake? Here's what Paul knew. Paul knew God had a purpose for everything came in his life. Why do we bellyache so much about what the Lord does for us? Why do we bellyache so much about where the Lord sends us? The Apostle Paul knew that God had a purpose, and he knew it was the providence of God. I believe he really believed Romans 8:28. We read it. We give a head knowledge to it, don't we? But I believe that he really believed that great truth. Now, if you'll notice as he goes on there in this passage of Scripture, he said, for our hope of you in verse 7 is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now look at this. And we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we were despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He said, we're still just trusting the Lord. Ye also helping together by the prayer for, notice, helping together by the prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons' thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. What was he saying? He's saying, I'm willing to be spit. To spin and to be spit for you. You ever get to the place to where that you become so selfish and so self-centered, and it takes you away from God's purpose for your life? I believe, as he said here, and he designed, even in this passage of Scripture, we find that Paul, you know, he suffered mockings. People mocked him. And he counted it joy. He was even among times when they were in riots. He even suffered shipwreck. And then, as he said here, he was even put in bonds. The only time I've closest been in bonds when I gone and preached in jail and they locked me in. But there's one thing about it. I thought I was going to get back out. I did, you know. And he even suffered as far as imprisonment. But there were sometimes he even was stoned and left for dead. And you know, the thing that happens is, sometimes when something comes up and things don't go like we have in our mind and what we think that God's design ought to be, we sort of think, well, we say, honey, I think I'll just quit. Yeah. We said, I just thought about just giving up. I just thought about quitting. Brother, I have too. But there's always a burning in my bones. I mean, I try to quit, but there's a burning in my bones. I'm like Jeremiah. There's a burning in my bones. And then how ashamed ought to be. How ashamed ought to be of myself. How ashamed that we ought to be. Now, what sustained Paul through all of this? Brethren, through all of this, the doctrines of grace kept him in a state of rejoicing. The doctrines of grace that he teaches so plainly and that he gives to us so graciously, it was the doctrines of grace. Knowing that God has a people to save. And knowing that it was his privilege to endure all things for them. But that leads up to the second word that I want you to write down. The first word is persecution, therefore I endure all things. And the second word is people. And that's for the elect's sakes. Paul knew that God had an elect people. Aren't you glad you do? They are described in the Word of God sometimes as sheep. Jesus said this himself in John 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they followed me. Paul, time and time again, always in his writings, usually used the word elect. See, it's just not in the Bible one time. Some people wished it wasn't there at all. But I mean, it's there more than just one time, And I claim tonight the message I'm preaching is a missionary message. But other times, other writers use the word sheep. Now, brethren, keep in mind our text verse there in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Keep in mind what that verse says. And then we'll answer this question. How did they become the elect? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, we can usually quote that verse. We know it by heart, but I want to tie it in. I want to tie it in with this verse here in 2 Timothy 2:10. And here's what it says here in Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath, that is God, hath chosen us in him, that's Christ. Now, keep in mind, that's going to go with 2 Timothy 2:10. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. They were chosen or selected by the Father in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Time and time again in the Word of God, they are referred to as the elect. What did Paul say in Romans 8:33? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What did he say in Colossians 3:22? Put on therefore as the elect of God. What did he say here in 2 Timothy 2:10? I endure all things for the elect's sakes. What did the apostle Peter say in 1 Peter 1:2? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The word used time and time again in the Word of God. They are, and sometimes even referred to as a gift of the Father, from the Father to the Son. In John 17:2, it says, as many as thou hast given him. And Jesus, in preaching that great message in John 6:37, said, all that the Father giveth me, referring to that gift. If you'll notice, he always calls them sheep. Yeah. both lost and saved sheep. But he always calls them sheep. You can go to the 10th chapter of John, and I'm not going to read these verses. I'm just going to make reference to them in that 10th chapter. Verse 3, 4, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13, 15, and 16. In all of those verses, he refers to them as sheep. And there's one thing clearly that it says there, sheep here. But that ain't all. Sheep follow. Brother, not only do sheep hear, but sheep follow. And we know that is the Holy Spirit using the Word of God that enables them to hear and enables them also to follow. I'm making a study that there is not an aspect of salvation that the Word of God is not used in. No aspect of our salvation is apart from the Word of God. None of it. Not an aspect of it. And brother, every sheep has a name. And that name was written before the foundation of the world. And the thing that rejoices my heart is he even prays for them. And I believe when he prayed for them, brother, he called us by name. I believe that then he says that he gives to them the Word of God. He gives them the Word through the way that he's ordained, and they hear the Word, and when they hear the Word, then they come. And then, brother, they don't stop there. They keep on hearing the Word. And when they keep on hearing the Word, then they follow. So what we see in this 10th verse here is these two words, persecution and people. And here it is. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. But now the third word I want you to write down is purpose. Now, why did the Apostle Paul endure all things for the elect's sake? Now look closely at that verse. I want you to see this in the Word of God. It's the purpose is that they may also obtain the salvation. Now underline the word obtain. That they also may obtain the salvation. Now where's what we have to come to understand? You know, I get aggravated when people call me Calvinist. Amen. Brother, I'm no Calvinist. Amen. And I get aggravated when they call me hard shell too. Amen. I'm no hard shell. Amen. And I'm going to show you right here from the Word of God why that I'm not. From the Word of God. See, a lot of times people go around tacking hard shell on you. They don't know what a hard shell is. And they don't know what a hard shell believes. We know that Paul said the purpose that he endured all things for the elect's sake was that they might obtain salvation. Now these elect, they are chosen to salvation before the foundation of the world. Well now keep in mind I said they're chosen to. Now, we know the surety and the guarantee, and I think we understand the tense when we read Romans 8, 29 and 30, don't you? And here's what it says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. But now, even with those verses in mind, we know that his people were chosen to salvation. Before the foundation of the world, this salvation was designed, it was planned, it was purposed for the elect before the foundation of the world. But here's why I want to tell you, I'm not a hard shell. We're not saved before the foundation of the world.
Now, you accuse me of being a hard shell. You better understand what a hard shell means. I do not believe in eternal justification. That is being saved before the foundation of the world. It's not so. We were not saved before the foundation of the world. We are saved in time. And brother, I'll make it even more a little bit closer than that. The time God has allowed us to live, and then in that time that He has allowed us to live at a set time.
Amen. Amen.
During our life, we see that's when that we are saved. Ecclesiastes in the 3rd chapter says, well, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And if you'll read that first verse, you'll see that. And so we are saved in time because the preaching of the gospel is necessary to the attaining of salvation.
Amen.
And the gospel was not preached by men before the foundation of the world. But the gospel is preached in time. He'll tell you, turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 2. And I want you to see this truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. And listen to what Paul says. Now, I'm going to go slow through this. Verse, I want you to see this. Maybe you've already seen it, you know, but I'm just going to point out what the Lord has pointed out to me. He says in the 13th verse, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Now look at this. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now that tells us who. Now look at the difference in the time. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now that was before the foundation of the world. But now the rest of that verse is in time.
Through, notice, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And he goes on and he caps it off in verse 14, but says, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we have is the elect are appointed to be saved in time through the sanctification of the Spirit and the God and the belief of the truth. So what we see is God not only chose a people in before the foundation, I try to say eternity, but I mean it's before the foundation of the world. He not only chose a people before the foundation of the world, but he also ordained in time how that people would be called. And that would be through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
That's why, brethren, we're missionary Baptists. That's why we're missions. That's why missions, Brother Jones.
No wonder. And I believe that we ought to get this truth in our hearts and minds. The gospel must be preached for the obtaining of salvation.
No wonder Paul said, and it ought to be up on our hearts. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. And he says, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. But listen to what he said in Romans 10. And there in verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? And Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And you go on and it reads, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
What is the need of the hour, folks? What is the need of the hour? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the need of the hour. But then there's another word that I want you to write down in verse 10. And that's the person or person. Now look at this real close again in 2 Timothy 2:10. The persecution is therefore I endure all things. The people is for the elect's sake. The purpose is that they might also obtain the salvation. And the person is which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Salvation is not anything else but Christ Jesus. Amen. And Paul is preaching this here. Refer back now in your memory and think that we were chosen in Him. Before the foundation of the world. That's what makes it in Christ Jesus. Because we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Therefore, this, it is a salvation which is in Christ Jesus. What's Acts 4:12 says? Say. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the salvation which is in Jesus Christ. Salvation tonight for any man, any woman, any boy or girl in this building is to be found in Jesus Christ. The obtaining of salvation is by receiving Jesus Christ. You don't accept Him, you receive Him. Now, I won't drive that point home, but I believe that's scriptural. You won't find anywhere accepting Jesus in the Word of God. You'll find receiving Him. Receiving Jesus Christ. He's not something that you knock around and you might take or you might not take. That's the way it is, folks. And I believe He said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Every aspect of salvation is in Christ. It starts with Christ coming into the world and living for us. Now that's where it starts, living for us. First, He lived for us. He was without sin. He set the example. Just as much a part of our salvation is Christ living for us. He lived for us. It starts with that. Then He went to Calvary to die for us. But then He was buried and He arose for us. And now where is He? He is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. What's He getting ready to do? He's getting ready to come back for us. That is our salvation, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fifth word that I want you to notice is the word participation. Now look at this again. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
Amen.
Salvation is conceived by Paul as a present possession already secured. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. But salvation will find its completion in eternal glory. Salvation is now possessed by the believer is only in God's stages of development. Now you've got to hold on to that. I'm giving God the glory. It's in God's stages of development. We're right where God wants us to be. as for its salvation at this time. It will be developed in its completeness at the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That will be the completeness of it. Salvation begins with our regeneration, and it is completed by our perfect deliverance. Completely delivered. To this salvation is added the participation of heavenly, and brother, that is divine glory. Therefore, in order to magnify the grace of Christ, He gave to salvation the name Eternal Glory. Eternal glory! I realize our salvation begins by being chosen in Christ as far as elected to or selected to. Now keep that in mind, Ephesians 1:4. That's when with God it begins. Can begin as far as chosen or appointed to. It actually happens and is brought to us in time. But the same one that it began with is the same one that's going to complete it. And here it is, 1 John 3. Look with me in 1 John 3. It says this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. But now notice, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, who? The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And we don't go on many times and read that third verse, but it says, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Now just recap these thoughts in your mind and think what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 2:10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may obtain. Now, you'll find that word obtained used other places in Scripture too, if you get to looking for it. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What we have is persecution. Feel sorry for yourself tonight? You get down. We have one of the greatest privileges. We're living in one of the greatest times and have the greatest privilege of any other generation. We have more liberty and freedom. We have more convenience. We of all people should be less discouraged than any other generation. We're not having this conference in a cave. We're not hiding out in the woods somewhere. And I believe if anybody ought to be zealous for the Lord. But I tell you why we're not. Things have robbed us. I just recently saw a video of Papua New Guinea. And those people there, when they bring their tithes and offerings and put it before the table in the churches, it's cow-cow. That's sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes. That's their main diet. They have a few other things to eat, but that's their main diet. And I thought, when I saw that, can God grip our hearts tonight by the Holy Spirit and say, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus
with eternal glory. And it sort of put me into mind. I said, I'm so ashamed of myself. I don't know as I'll ever want anything else. I know this old flesh. I mean, I know my old flesh. I was, conferences will do you good. I heard a preacher preach last year in a conference, and he said that he hadn't watched television for 3 months and he had lived. And now I haven't watched it for a year. Still able to preach.